Welcome to What's a Frequency, our long-form Siouxland public media show. I'm Brett Hayworth. There's a big upcoming addition to the business community in Sioux City in the near future, so today I'm out to speak with the brainchild of it, Austin Foster. Sioux City Distilling Company is planning big things with the restoration of the historic Ogden or perhaps Wigman building. The plans include a production facility, a world-class cocktail bar, large event spaces, a restaurant, and more. To shed light on this, I'm doing a walk and talk with Austin, who is, again, the brainchild of, it's basically a classic industrial building that's getting a new life as a Sioux City Distilling Company. So thank you for joining me today, Austin. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's great to be a part of it.
And I want to say that some people may have heard this during our fun drive about a month ago. You came in and we had a few minutes to talk about Sioux City Distilling Company. And I appreciate that. And I just felt like it's such an interesting concept of what you have, such an interesting business, such an interesting addition to the Sioux City offerings, I guess, for nightlife, quality of life, all those sorts of things. So wanted to do a show on that. So thank you. Let's start with, where are we? So just describe, what's the address and like, where are we? We're on the west edge of downtown Sioux City, basically.
We are actually, so we are at 313 Perry Street. We sit in the historic Ogden building. The building finished construction 1915, and we've been slowly kind of revitalizing it. We've always known this building as Wigman Plumbing Supply Company. That's what most folks would know it as, and it's only because they were here for 110 years. We've been slowly kind of revitalizing it. But it kind of indicated we're kind of right on the west side. What's really unique about our space is we are in the 33rd block of the original platting of Sioux City. So like when Cook moved here and platted Sioux City, this would have been the original platting of Sioux City. That's why if you've ever wondered why West 4th and West 7th are a little cattywampus right from the rest of the town here, is because it was platted toward the based upon the contour of the river. It wasn't until a year later where First Edition happened, where Hard Rock Hotel is now, that's where Hell's Half Acre was. That's where they said, oh man, we need to go north, south, east, west grid. So this is when we say, oh, we're kind of western part of the city, we're actually in where Sioux City was originally platted, which I think is really, really special.
And the voice you're hearing is Austin Foster. Is owner the right name? What is your title?
Owner, janitor is usually what I go by. The things that we've been working to do here is open up a space for the community. So the thing that I sign my signature block most with these days is I'm just a nice guy here.
Okay. Thank you. And I do want, we're going to have a big discussion on what's all going to be in here, but I do want to get, since we just walked in and I was asking like, where to describe where we're located. So we're very close to like Council Oak Supply Company for the coffee shop.
And then we're right between Palmer Candy Store and Palmer Candy Factory. So we're right off of Wesley Parkway, not too far.
I think those are some good benchmarks of people. If you don't know the exact address, then that gives you some wayfinding. So thank you.
You can triangulate it pretty easily with that.
Yeah. And I just want to, I have not been in here before. I'm going to call this like an older 100-year-plus industrial. So obviously there was lots of these types of building in this area, which have all been repurposed for like Council Oak, for like those Perry lofts, et cetera. But just describe the guts is the right word, but just it's huge stone, just like massively, just solid building.
It's an impressive structure. So, this was built as a warehouse. It's all brick and timber. The exterior brick was all created here right in Sioux City. It came in from Sioux City Brick and Tile down towards Riverside area. Near as we can tell, all the beautiful timber in here, it's red pine from Wisconsin. That was all milled on site. But the building itself is 46,000 square feet of fun. So it is an impressively massive structure.
And we're going to walk and talk, as I said. But I do want to take, going back to when we first talked in the studio a few weeks ago, is this like a National Register of Historic Places, or was there some preservation grants or something that came because of the historic nature of this building?
There was no grants, sadly, because we We had to modify too much of the exterior of the structure in order to make it usable for our purposes here. So we forewent chasing historical grants. All of that said, we were just bestowed a great honor. Sioux City Historical Commission, they just named us the treasure of Sioux City for all of the work we've done to preserve the structure.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head. Like, these would have been the places that, if not revitalized, it'd have been torn down. The timber that we have in here, if I could just talk a little bit about it, it's trees. We just don't make trees like this anymore, to be candid with you. All of my subfloor is 2x5-inch true dimension tongue and groove. All the flooring on top of it, which is all original, is hard as nails maple, square edge, face nailed. But the joists and the timbers in here are the most miraculous thing. We actually had to remove one of the beams. We found that the beam weighed 560 pounds. We know that because we've got a beautiful old Toledo scale that's been here for 110 years.
It's right here, inside the front door.
Right as you come in. It's been making core memories for hundreds of years for children. But the most remarkable thing, to be honest with you, when we were removing that beam, was it revealed 170 rings. So
wow.
if we think about that, building finished construction 1915, apply math, all of these sticks predate the United States as a country.
1700 something.
It's incredible. Like, so the work we've been doing in here, and when I say that we've been doing it, I mean me and my kids and then my friends, and we've worked with some great partners in our community, but it's truly been us. We treat it with a tremendous amount of reverence. We get the opportunities to be stewards of a wonderful historic structure, and we're so excited to be able to bring this to the community.
My voice you're hearing is Austin Foster for the What's the Frequency. I'm out touring for a walk and talk at the Sioux City Distilling Company. There's so many things that we will be talking about in the next several minutes here. And I don't know the right order for everything, but when will this open? So here we're in early June right now. So
early June. So actually we've been open for events since December, and we've done 46 events since we opened up for events. We've got three event spaces. So we've got a 350 person ballroom. We've got a 50 to 80 person party room, and we've got the most beautiful conference room in our city that kind of overlooks the atrium. And that's a 30 person conference room. On top of that, all of these are on the third level of the structure, but we've got a couple of get ready rooms, and then stay tuned. We will have rooftop deck out there as well.
Okay. So,
And then from our bar standpoint, we've been open just since last week. So we're slowly starting to open the cocktail lounge for people to come in and enjoy a little bit of our artwork. And that is open Thursdays through Saturdays right now, 4 to 8. So we are open to the public for the community as we speak right now.
But this is a pretty good time for this show to air because you're just kind of really getting rolling.
It could not be better timed.
Okay, thank you.
Right now we're on the third level of the structure. We get to kind of look at the reason I fell in love with this building, which is the ceiling here. Up here on this level, we've got all of our event spaces. So the first place we're going to walk into is our grand ballroom.
When did you become acquainted with this building? And then why was it important that this is the place that you felt like this is where Sioux City Distilling needed to be?
So I bought the building maybe 3 Octobers ago. The reason I fell in love with it was how historic and beautiful the structure was. Through our brands, we're going to tell a lot of stories about Sioux City's history. I get the opportunity to travel all over the world and do cocktail things and do spirit things, and every once in a while, someone say, "Oh, Sioux City sarsaparilla, that's made in New York." None of those dollars come back here to benefit our community. None of those dollars are invested in our spaces here. It's important to me that through our brands, we tell the stories about Sioux City that are not only accurate, but also inspire even more civic pride. And it's really hard to tell those old stories in a new building. So when seeking the right place to launch this business from, the building was absolutely critical, and I couldn't have found a better fit for us here.
I know we're going to see a few more things here and describe them for people as who are listening to this What's a Frequency show, but just in like, what is a distillery? What takes place in a distillery? Just for those to go like to the bare, the base, absolute basics.
No. That's great. That's a great question. And also it's an important question to ask because we actually have a number of breweries in our community, which is fantastic. And we've always had breweries in this community. We've even got some vineyards in the community, right? So we've got folks that are making beer and folks that are making wine and all that fun stuff. Sioux City has never had a legal distillery inside its city limits ever in the entire history of Sioux City. We're the first legal distillery in Sioux City. I brought the first legal still into Sioux City limits ever. And you might notice that I'm emphasizing the word legal.
You heard me chuckle on the very first legal, so please.
Yeah, yes. Please. We have had plenty of illicit stills in our community. I'm not saying we're the first people to have produced alcohol here, ethanol, for the purposes of spirit or drinking, but we are certainly the first people that are doing it under the watchful eyes of our federal and state government.
There you go. Okay, I like that. How does it function? Where does this happen in the building, et cetera?
So we have all of our production floor is in the lowest level. And we will definitely get down there to kind of take a peek at it. But effectively, all distillation is it's separation of water. For instance, if we make whiskey, the starting point of whiskey, the fermented product we use for raw materials, we use grain. And when you ferment grain, you end up with beer. So we're going to make beer, but when we distill it, we take it one step further, right? So we're going to take that beer and we're going to concentrate all the alcohol and ethanol that's in there and effectively separate it from all the water. So at its core, distillation is just separation of water. And we're going to take fermented product and we're going to isolate the alcohol and we're going to make beautiful spirits from that.
And so we're talking hard liquors, basically what we're talking about here. Is that correct?
Yep. We're making gin, rum, and whiskey right here in Sioux City.
Gin, rum, and whiskey.
Yeah, and some vodka and some other things, but yeah.
Okay.
We might actually make some brandy as well. But we're gonna do some incredible things. But spirit has never been made here legally before.
Okay, let's continue then.
Yeah, so right now we're in our grand ballroom. You might notice that we have a little bit of an arch here. It's impressive because you wouldn't have seen this if you had come into this building when it was Wigman, because this thing was so full of so many supplies. Actually, on this level, there's so much inventory for plumbing. On this level, this entire floor would have been lofted. So floor to loft, full of stuff. Loft to ceiling, full of stuff. When we kind of removed all the shelves, all the lofts, everything else, it revealed this beautiful arch. And it's really hard to describe to most folks unless you come into the space, but it's a high arch ceiling where it's all just beautiful timber from trees that aren't made anymore. We have a couple of beautiful chandeliers. These were kind of splurges. I brought them in from Brazil, and they are also made of wood, but they kind of resemble barrel rings. And they cast light both down and up on the ceiling.
And what do you see for the ballroom place? At least this is weddings, this is big type events?
This is weddings, this is larger company parties. We've done actually a number of high school graduations here where you need the space for it. And it's not a bad space, whether you've got 100 folks or even 250 folks, but we'll do up to 350 in here.
Yeah. Being up higher, just looking out the windows here, you can see quite a ways out in the Sioux City up toward Helan and, you know, the lower downtown area and set up.
This is my favorite part of the building. This is usually the part that gets the most oohs and ahs, as I think we just have one of the most incredible views of our city. Yes. From up here. If you want to draw landmarks of Sioux City, come west and look back east.
Mm-hmm.
We can see the dome, we can see the castle, we can see the cathedral, we can see the courthouse, we can see City Hall, we can see just a beautiful skyline of our city that most people haven't been able to enjoy it from this perspective.
Right.
Which I think is truly remarkable. And then we're looking out the window right now, but we will have rooftop deck out here eventually as well.
And I could be speaking out of turn here, but one reason that people loved the Warrior Hotel and that restoration that occurred with that is the upper level where people can climb on the
beautiful deck.
So like you'll very similar situation here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just a few stories shorter. And to be candid with you, but the more places that we can admire our city, the better. I love everything we've uncovered. From the rooftop here, we can see 15 churches.
Listening to What's a Frequency on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Brett Hayworth, and we're out at Sioux City Distilling Company. Austin Foster is taking us giving us a look-see, I guess. And so we're just using very descriptive language so everybody listening on the radio that you can understand what's all here. From the comments that you've made, Austin, you seem like you really know a lot of Sioux City history. Are you Sioux City native, or how does...
So I actually went to high school in a town called Estherville, Iowa, so only a couple hours from here. I'm originally from Colorado Springs, but both of my folks were military, so I kind of grew up all over. I mean, shoot, I grew up between Turkey and the Philippines, so first time I ever had culture shock was, I think, when I moved to North Dakota. I was like, holy smokes, everyone's white and everyone speaks English. This is weird. We moved to Estherville, and I went to high school there. I met my now wife, Sheila. She's put up my dumb butt for the last, 30 years. I was in the military myself. So Sioux City Distilling Company is a service-connected, disabled, veteran-owned business as well, which is important to me. But I've had the opportunity to do a lot of things and live a lot of places. But Ma passed away about 10 years ago. My dad still had an old McDonald farm up in Estherville, and I've got 4 children. And it doesn't hurt them one dang bit to go through some hay bales and pick up some rocks and walk some beans and help out. This is what we do. This is where we're from, you know, because of that, because they know how to work. That's why they can work with me now in the distillery. So we moved back here to be closer to where Dad was. And unfortunately, Dad passed away about 3 to 4 years ago. And we just called Sioux City home. Learning about your community is important. I think building the place you want to live is critical. I think that you invest in the community you're a part of, and that's what we're doing here.
So again, we haven't gotten very far in this, and you know, we have yet to go to the basement where all the production happens, et cetera. But will you have some signage that tells the story of that sort of history?
Oh, to be sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually, the atrium area where you walk into the space will become museum.
Okay.
So we're going to have all manner of artifacts, and we're working with not only Sioux City Public Museum, but also a variety of local humans that will be providing artifacts and have been providing artifacts for us to display here that allow us to tell an even more rich version of the stories that we're going to tell in our brands.
So I know we talked very briefly about the Historical Preservation and the Commission. I might not have the right title for that group there, but how excited have they been to work with you throughout this process? The fact that, like, when you pitch the idea, seeing it move along, et cetera, like what sorts of things are you hearing from them?
I think they, like most other humans, are just excited to see pieces of Sioux City's history revitalized. I mean, it's not easier, but it's important. And that's what we approach it as, is it's an important endeavor. So I think to be anything but thrilled would be wild to me.
Okay. So when did the idea to create a distillery in Sioux City, when did that happen, and when did it all kind of really start to, the cog start to really roll?
I've been part of the food and beverage industry for the better part of the last, I don't know, probably 20 years. When I think about that journey, most of it's been creating experiences for people on the other side of the bar. And I get to travel all the world and do some cocktail things and do spirit things. But I think it was hard to pandemic. I was struggling with what I wanted that sort of next song in my life to be. I've had the opportunity to do a lot of different things. And I decided I just want to make pirates. And more specifically, I just want to make rum. So we kind of started charting a course for that. And
I'm sorry I didn't get the joke when you first said pirates, but it took me a second. Sorry.
Right, right. It's really that simple. You've got to build a roadmap to get to place, right? So we just started building the roadmap to get there. And thankfully, I've got a lot of support and from my partner in life, Sheila, and charting that course is kind of what set us on the path to where we are now. But the interest was sparked decade before it, you know.
So are there other business partners that you want to name that are involved with us besides your wife?
This is just Austin and his kids.
Okay. That was a very poor assumption on my part, because this is
an enormous investment.
Yeah.
This is an enormous investment. Okay. This is an Austin and 18 investors. I've been working with a lot of my friends and we've been working to revitalize the space, but this is truly working to try to keep that team as tight as possible, because we want to make sure that we are staying true to the things that we want to achieve here. So that's not to say that at some point that might change or not, because people want to be a part of this big thing. But but right now, what you see is our investment. A couple of other things up here is this is that 50 to 80 person party room we're walking into now, a really important size of space in our community. This is probably one of the most popular rooms just because it's not too big, it's not too small. It fits that medium size business, like Christmas party outlet and retirement ceremonies are great in here. We've been also doing high school graduations in here. The space here, I think, again, just continued views. But if you look here, we're in the middle of 6th Street. You can see all of the guy. And it's because we're turned sort of cattywampus, like I was describing earlier.
Right.
We're in the middle of the road here, which is wild.
As we're looking east, cattywampus is the right word, I think, but City Hall is right down there. So,
correct.
Yeah, so before it was a little more to the north with more Gila. Now, if you look east, you can see a little more of the downtown. And
yeah, we're
facing east now.
We're stumbling distance to the Warrior and the Hard Rock and all those things.
Right. Above the atrium when we first walked in, and now we're facing south, and you can look down onto the atrium. Am I saying that correct? Or is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah, so this is our conference room. I think it's the sexiest conference room in our city. The table that we built in here, we built from the floor out here. This is a 22-foot table. We'll sit 20 comfortably at the table. We'll do 30 in the room. And we've got a 100-inch screen here to display all of your business things. And then we've also, the plans are to build wet bar and then coffee bar and back. Impact we'll make is really in the experiences we provide. So let's say you do your annual board meeting or something here. Or we just had one of our close partnerships. They did their annual shareholders meeting here. But at the end of it, normally when you get up from the table, you lose 30% of the people. Like if you say, hey, let's go down to another place and let's have maybe a beverage or let's go and have a meal somewhere else, you just lose 30% of the people when you stand up. What they opted to do was something that we do here really well, which is transition into an experience. So they got a light tour of the building like we're doing now. And then we ended up in our sensory lab. And we did a master class in American whiskey. And then we ended up also doing a blind tasting with them. And the feedback that we get from those things that we do, and we've done a number of these things, is that ends up being one of the most dynamic meetings that they've had. And it's because usually you want a good team building portion to happen in those events. And to be honest, you usually just get the work done and you don't get to the team building part. So being able to get to that is really critical. But let's say you do your wedding here. Instead of maybe having people sign a guest registrar, what if we just had them sign a barrel? What if I filled that barrel with whiskey? What if you came back annually and you had the chance to taste it and see where it's at And then what if when it was ready, you brought your crew back here and we bottled it together and we labeled it together and we created an experience. People don't buy booze. We buy experiences. And what we aim to accomplish here is that. So we create, I think we'll have the most premier event spaces here, but we also have the most dynamic meetings because we can offer so many unique things that you wouldn't be able to otherwise achieve, which I'm really excited about.
And you're listening to What's a Frequency? I'm at Sioux City Distilling Company with Austin Foster. He's one of the owners along with his wife, and we're getting a tour and we very much appreciate this. You mentioned the four hard liquors that will be distilled here.
Most distilleries might focus on a spirit or two. We're an extremely small craft distillery. So our focus is going to be on production of whiskey and gin, but we plan to produce a lot of other things here because everything is done in kind of small runs and small batches. So it allows us a lot more flexibility than, let's say, if we were just a whiskey distillery like you might find in Kentucky, right? Where their sole purpose is to make bourbon. We have the ability to be a little more flexible because the size of runs aren't as enormous.
When I came down to prepare for this, I wanted to make sure that we talked about two places. Number one is the place that we're in now, which is touring the new facility. But I think I need you to tell me also about Juniper Hills.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about Juniper Hills and how that fits into what you're doing here.
When people come in to Sioux City here, we get to experience this beautiful community that we have, which is awesome. Our goal is to drive a lot of tourism. Breweries and vineyards, they tend to be local regional draws, very community oriented, very community driven, which is amazing. And gosh, the people that we have doing those in town, they're just crushing it. It's absolutely fantastic what we have. So distilleries, they tend to be state and national draws. There's something called the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, which is effectively a map of distilleries in Kentucky. And that's a $7 billion tourism industry for the state of Kentucky. It's big, big dollars to the state of Kentucky. We've been working with the Iowa Board of Tourism, and depending on how you enter the state, we are going to be the start or the end of the Iowa Bourbon Trail.
So it's about to be created in Iowa, such a trail?
Correct. They've been working to map out all the distilleries so people have a way that they can find these spaces. But we plan to drive in a more enormous amount of tourism through this space. Sioux Falls and Omaha ain't got nothing like this. This isn't just unique because it's a distillery. This is unique among distilleries. And it's not solely because it's in a historic structure. It's not solely because we're going to be able to produce wonderful spirits. It's not solely because we're going to do the most dynamic events here or have the most incredible cocktail programs or things of that nature. It's a sum of all of those things. And that's really what I find tremendously exciting. But Juniper Hills is part of that story. When you come to town and you experience a building, the structure is wonderful. My farm is 3 miles from here. It's off of Talbot Road at the end of Molloy, and it is 68 acres of untouched Luss Hills. There's not a lot of places in the world that can claim the Luss Hills. Large pocket here, there's a fair amount in China, and then a little bit along the Rhine River in Germany. I mean, there's not a lot of these spaces. And if you'd have taken your drone and you'd have flown around in the late 1800s or mid 1800s, you'd have seen where the Iowa South Dakota border, it's like where agriculture ends and where the plains begin. And it's kind of separated by this Luss, which is pretty incredible, right?
I've done a lot of stories over the Luss Hills, very interesting landform, but you just did a great description of
what we're growing up there right now is juniper. Now, it's an invasive species in our community. We've known it as Eastern Red Cedar. common name is Junipers virginiana. And the junipers that we're producing right here in the Les Hills are so aromatic and they're so beautiful. And that's such an incredibly important part of the story because we're looking to use local grains and local botanicals for our products. And we just happen to have the best of them right here in Iowa. So when people come in and they get the chance to experience the building in our city and they come in from out of town, if they come in and they actually do a juniper harvest with us, man, that's the other side of the story. When you get a chance to connect with nature in that way, when you get a chance to be a part of this thing, we can build this. That just exists and was created over millennia. So actually the thing I usually say is I say, oh man, this building is amazing. You know, people will give me that feedback. It's incredible what you've done here. And they're blown away by what we've created. And then I take them to the farm and they say, why the heck do we spend time in that old building? We should have just been out here to begin with. So Juniper Hills is a very special place. And that's just part of the story.
Okay. And it is an ingredient in the distilled process. Is that correct?
Correct. So all gin starts as vodka. It's effectively flavored vodka. So we're going to flavor our gins with botanicals, and the chief botanical that you use when creating gin is juniper. So that's why juniper is important to the process. Right now we're in our cocktail lounge, which I think is just a beautifully lovely space here.
Yeah. So this will be on the main floor then as we move back down toward the heading downward.
Correct. This is a cocktail lounge. It's a world-class facility that we created here. Every bit of care we've put into the building, we've put into the space too. If you look at the front of the bar, it's kind of wrapped in what looks like old English pub panels, right? Mm-hmm. Those were the garage doors on the front of the building for 110 years. All of these tables, all my bar top, we built from the floor joists. But the most remarkable thing is along the back of our bar, it looks like it's effectively, it looks like a chalkboard, but it's my eldest son and I, we painstakingly removed every sign above each of the shelves that were in here that were handwritten in chalk. This is an homage to the building. Most of the people that wrote on that wall, they're no longer with us. It's very important that we keep all of those things. So as we walk through the space here, so now we're in our tasting room. So the tasting room is where we're going to do tours. So you'll be able to go onto our website soon enough. And on a Saturday, you'll say, oh, hey, there's 5 spots available at the 2 o'clock tour. Let me book those out. Maybe come down, have a cocktail. Our cocktail lounge, man, we approach cocktail with such culinary precision. It's my true heart place. Like I'm so excited for everything we're bringing to the community, but our cocktails that we have here are not only the ones that contain alcohol, but the ones that don't. Our NA program is off the charts. So it's so important to me that people understand that this is a place for all humans, whether you enjoy spirits or not. Now the tours are as well, because this is where we'll learn about the production process. Now, whether you enjoy spirit or not is really not a big deal, because this is all academic. I know I've worn out my remote control watching how it's made stuff on Discovery, you know, and that's where I usually live is that how can I learn about a thing? Here, we're not only going to teach you about what we do, but we're going to take you into the plant so you can see what we do. And that's the next place we're going to step into.
So this right here is Notre Dame.
This is the first legal still to enter Sioux City limits ever. Right now we're on a beautiful catwalk that is directly above our still. It's in my production area. Now, even though this area right here is a federally bonded and secured space, we dropped in one of the largest windows blanket shipped our glass with us here. And I think this was the largest piece of half-inch glass that they'd ever set. I weighed over 600 pounds. So we can actually view that from our cocktail lounge. We can see all of the fun stuff that happens. But when you're on tour, you actually get the opportunity to come into the plant, and we get to see it firsthand. So Our whiskey still is a copper pot. That's from Vendome. It's the first legal still to enter Sioux City limits ever, but it is the second Vendome to enter the state of Iowa.
Okay.
It is the first Vendome copper pot to enter the state of Iowa. And we're going to produce beautiful spirit on that. And then I've got my little baby gin still there, which will be able to produce beautiful gins like we were just talking about on.
And again, the voice you're hearing is Austin Foster of Sioux City Distilling. And he's, as you can hear, he's a very rich, descriptive guy with a lot. Really can paint pictures. But I will say that for those who want to come consume this story on our website, we will have some photos on our website too to like fill out the
That's really it. And honestly, the photos don't even do it justice. You just come down and see us. Like so when we were creating the space here, I just find it to be such a gift to our community to be able to share this historic structure. We're out in our production floor right now, and we're looking back at the original exterior of the building from 1915. This has not been seen in its full glory probably since the 50s when the lean-to was added.
Okay.
So us just opening it up, it's just striking to me. We get to see all of our process stuff in alignment. Now, another really cool thing that when approaching this is that I built the facility so we could really do a lot of tours. We want to invite everyone into that process. And like I'd said, whether spirit is your thing or not doesn't matter as much because you get to actually see the plant and how it works and operates, which I think is the most fun part anyway. But we'll bring all of our grains in. We'll do all the cracking of our grains outside in our mill area. And then inside here, we'll cook our mash. We'll ferment those grains, and then we'll ultimately distill it. So you get to see the whole process in a line, which is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as we've talked, going back to the very beginning, you had described how various facets of this of Sioux City Distilling Company have opened over the last several months. Is there a last piece that's coming that you will consider that, okay, we're done, we've got it all, we're there?
Oh, honestly, we're just at the starting line. Yeah. Well, I mean, the sky is really it. Mere weeks away from starting production of spirits here, which is great. Rest assured, we've got plenty of spirits here. I've got 100 barrels of whiskey cooking right now, so we will be able to open with aged product when we start selling our products.
Maybe July?
Probably by the end of July, we'll be in production, which is great. That's the next step. But we're already starting to invite people into the space because we're so excited about it.
Am I getting ahead of myself, or can you give an example or two of what those names are?
Sure. So my gins, for instance, will be named Talbot for Daniel Hector Talbot. That's who Talbot Road was named for. And what an interesting fellow that was. This guy was a naturist. He was a botanical human. And then the story gets even more interesting from there. So we'll feature characters like that in our product. People don't buy booze. We buy stories. We buy experiences. So telling of these stories is really, really fun and interesting. It's a fun way to kind of learn about the history that we have here.
Okay. Thank you, Austin Foster. I want to thank you very much for this again, for describing this when you came in for the spring fund drive for Siouxland Public Media. So we had a good flavor of this, and as we were able to flesh this out even much more and then walk and talk here today for What's a Frequency.
One thing is I can't thank you guys enough for everything you do for our community and have been doing for our community for so long. The fact of the matter is learning about things is pretty critical, and the formats that you guys have get word out there to the masses in a way that no one else can deliver it. So I couldn't be more thrilled to say yes and be a part of it.
Okay, thank you. And that'll be a wrap for this edition of What's the Frequency. Again, Austin Foster has been our host here down at
313 Perry Street.
Perry Street on the west edge of downtown Sioux City, a Sioux City Distilling Company. And What's a Frequency airs on Fridays at 10 a.m. and again on Sundays at 2 p.m. I'm Brett Hayworth for Siouxland Public Media.